Amen. Today I want to share with you out of Psalm 80. So find your place in Psalm 80. And I'll share some words today, just some words from my heart. But Psalm 80 seems to be a fitting passage to kind of fit where we are today. Today marks the beginning of a new chapter together as Josh and Casey and Harrison come and join this journey together with us. And I couldn't be happier to welcome you guys here and just look forward to the journey together. How awesome it is that the Lord has brought us together as our new worship pastor. And amen. Yeah. It takes us a little while to get going, but once we get going, you just can't stop us. All right. There's excitement as we watch what the Holy Spirit will do among us and in us in worship. It's exciting to envision the ways that we'll encounter the living God together in this place. How His Holy Spirit will teach us even more than we've known about worshiping our Heavenly Father. There are higher heights to be taken to and deeper depths to be immersed in by God's Spirit as we experience and worship Him together in this place. This is not a place where we just come to hear about God. This is not a place where we just come to sing songs about God. This is a place where we gather to experience the living God. Our songs are sung to Him, and we express ourselves to Him. Josh, Casey, and Harrison, I want you to know that we will be a family of brothers and sisters in Christ, of mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies in Christ. We'll pray for you, and we'll support you. We'll rejoice together. We'll stand together. We'll experience the Lord together. The Lord is already bringing forth great joy as we've been together. I guess I believe that the Lord has planted you here. He's replanting us, and He's planting you. We know the Lord will use your gifts, your spiritual gifts, your passions, your call, all that He has built in you. And how it is that He is shaping you even now to become a part of what God is building here, of what He's planting here in this place. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 80 this morning, and I want us to look at it to see how it describes the Lord's work of planting. So I want to just read verses 8 through 11, and we'll look at some other verses in this psalm at a little bit later. So pick it up in verse 8. It says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt." Now that's talking to God. "You, God, drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. And it took root and filled the land." Now that's talking about that old and ancient people, the Israelites, and how it was that God, through that Old Testament story, took His people and planted them in this land. He cleared the ground for it, and they took root, and they filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade. I think about this describing kind of the boundaries, so to speak. The mountains were covered with its shade. The cedars with its mighty branches. I think about that describing the north and the south, the northern and southern reaches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, that coastline there of the Mediterranean Sea. It shoots as far as the river, and that old ancient river Euphrates is what this refers to. So here God has planted a people. And it's a beautiful thing, and God plants this people. And through this people, God blesses the entire earth. And even today, God's blessings is upon us because of what Psalm 80 describes. The Lord has planted His people. Now, Psalm 80 was not written about Robertsville. And so I cannot present this to us as, well, here's God's word for us now today. It's just that I know that God worked this way with a people. And I just believe God still works that way with people. with his people. This is what the Lord does. He plants his people. And he plants them in particular locales, all for his purpose, all for his use. Why? So that through his people, his glory can be displayed. Anybody familiar with Isaiah 61? That it says that his people will be like oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be what? Glorified. He does it so that through his people, he is glorified. And not just his glory is made evident, but also his grace flows. His grace flows to his people, and his grace flows through his people. But also, all of God's goodness. God's goodness falls upon his people, but God's goodness flows through his people. Actually, the Lord fills up his people. I think that's a proper way of thinking about this thing that God does in the hearts and the lives and the souls of people. God fills them up with his Spirit so that all of his goodness, his grace, and his glory overflows out of them. That's a way of thinking about how it is that God channels himself through people, his glory, his grace, his goodness. I love to think about it as all of that kind of building up within me and overflowing out of me. I know what can overflow out of me. On my bad days, on my very human days, I know what can overflow out of me. And that's usually not the best of things. I know how it is that I can be judgmental of people. I can judge somebody better than anybody can. I can do it quick and I can be very accurate. I know how that flows out of me, how I have to watch it, I have to keep, Lord, help me with that. I know what can overflow out of me. Sometimes I get very impatient. Sometimes my words are not very edifying. Sometimes all I can think about is myself. And I'm not able to think about other people and the needs of other people. And I know what it's like for me to overflow out of me. And people don't need so much of that overflow. What people need is the overflow of what God has poured into me. His grace, his goodness, his glory even, to overflow, to fill me and to overflow out of me. Go back to the psalm and look at how God's planting. It spread out. It went all over the place. It went north and south and east and west. It's almost like it didn't have boundaries. It just kept flowing and overflowing when God did this planting. It overflowed and spread out. There wasn't a border that could hold it in. There wasn't any four walls in which it was contained. God's planting of us, his replanting of us, is designed to overflow out into the world around us. What overflows out of us? God's glory, God's grace, God's goodness, filling us up and overflowing out of us, almost like it's filling up this building, starting with the floor. Even underneath the floor, and just filling it up. Going up the walls to the top of the roof, all the way out the door and out the windows, down the second floor, all the way down into the kids' hall, down the stairwell, into the youth area, and out that back door, and out this door right here, out toward the amphitheater. God's goodness, his grace, his glory, overflowing, filling us and overflowing out of this place, just like happens anytime God plants his people. God's planting of us, his replanting of us, is designed to bring about that kind of overflow. God is replanting us in this locale. He did not call us to sell the building and go find a nice piece of land out in the country and build a nice building and occupy that space for a new future for this church. No. He called us to be replanted right here in this locale, right here on this little knob of a hill where we've been from the beginning, surrounded by neighborhoods and people that live all around us, many of whom we don't even know. Used to be folks lived nearby, didn't they? You knew where your address was, probably within walking distance of the church. My family used to live there. That's where my mom and dad lived. That's where me and my siblings grew up. And then you sold the house and moved on to a different place, and now somebody else lives in that house. And God has kept us in this locale for the purpose of filling us up and overflowing out of us His glory, His grace, and His goodness to all that live around us. We had a men's conference Saturday week ago. Just had a small group of men here in this gathered in this place. We partnered together with Freedom Hope Church, which is a new church about 5 years old, located right over here on the turnpike, right adjacent to Domino's Pizza. And they came, and in a way, they put together the event. We were able to house it together, and we worshiped together. We opened up God's Word together, and the Lord just really edified us and connected us. Leaving out of here feeling like people that I'd never known before, I felt like I was connected to them just like this. All of that brought about by the Holy Spirit. And one of the young men that was gathered there, I just was visiting with him, talking with him a little bit, and he was describing through some of his work, he was describing what I suspect and what some of us know, that in this area, some of the most hurting people, perhaps, that live in Oak Ridge. All kinds of different challenges and issues that have grabbed hold of people's lives, any and all kinds of addictions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Homes that are challenged and broken. Kids that don't really have anybody to love them or care for them or feed them. Challenges of all kinds. A stone's throw from where we are located. God is replanting us in this particular locale for a purpose, for a reason, so that His glory, His grace, His goodness will fill us up and overflow out of us, out into the lives and the homes and the neighborhoods that surround us. Do you believe that? Has that grabbed hold of your heart? I pray it has. Now, all of that sounds so wonderful, doesn't it? But Psalm 80 also points out that there is difficulty, there's challenge. We live in a real world that is filled with all kinds of difficulties and challenges. Look at verses 4 through 6 as an example. There's several different parts of this psalm. If you read through it, you can pick up on that difficulty that the psalmist points out. But verses 4 through 6 is just one example. How long, Lord? How long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? That's somebody crying out to God. Feels like God is angry. Feels like God is distant. Like God is condemning and judging. Just a heart cry. Have you ever been there? Just the difficulties of life, the challenges that have come your way. Didn't expect it, didn't see it coming. They just presented themselves to you. And you just cry out, God, why are you angry at me? Because you got to be angry at me, because this wouldn't have happened otherwise. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I'm just such a bad person. I deserve this. The psalmist kind of gives a little bit of voice to our experiences. How long, God, are you going to be angry? So angry you won't even hear our prayers. How long, God? Verse 5, you have fed us with the bread of tears. You have made us drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. The psalmist names the trouble, the difficulty, the challenge that life brings us. The beautiful truth is that God is planting us here in this locale. so that the overflow of His glory and His grace and His goodness will fill out the streets and neighborhoods and homes all around us. That's beautiful. But there's difficulty and challenge in this real world that surrounds us. Along the way, over time, things change. The world changes. Neighborhoods change. Occupants of houses changes. Neighbors change. Ways of doing things are altered. Money doesn't buy what it used to. The music the kids listen to these days sounds strange. Their clothes are weird. The cars and decor change. The way people spend their time and how they spend time together changes, and we wish for the good old days. But they don't come back. And God doesn't replant good old days. He replants us in this locale for now, for today, for what He wants to do, for what He knows that His glory and His grace and goodness can do today in this place, in this time. Disappointments, they challenge our joy and our hope. Failures, personal failures, the failures of others, and losses that we experience, they steal our future and our own faithfulness. People walk out of our lives without even a thought of how it might impact us. And it's like we can relate to what the psalmist says. God, I'm sitting here eating bread, the bread of tears. I'm drinking tears by the bowlful. I remember hearing a quote about change. Maybe you've heard this too. You can either get busy living or get busy dying. As we go along, we can determine that we're going to give ourselves to discovering, even with every change that comes our way, that there is new life. We can decide to get busy living. As we go along Robertsville, with every new change, we can discover new life. We can begin to see that God has planted us for His future. And even though change comes and with it challenges and difficulties, we can get busy living. Today is the beginning of a new future for us, to get busy living into that future. It will take several qualities that God has already planted in us, I believe. I just want to give you three. To get busy living into the future that God has for us, it's going to take courage. I'm looking out at a church full of people that I know and love, and I'm looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm telling us, for the future that God has for us, it's going to take courage. Now, it's not easy. It's not going to be an easy walk. It's going to take courage because it's going to challenge us. And what I want to ask you is this: are we ready to get busy living or get busy dying? Because it's going to require courage of us. It takes courage because God calls on us to get busy living, not to get busy dying. It takes courage because new things and new ways of doing things, it's uncertain. We don't know if we'll like it. We don't know if we can do it. We don't know if there will be any positive results. And so it takes courage. It takes courage to step out into a new direction. The day came when Moses died. This great, mighty, God-appointed, God-filled leader. And God called up Joshua. In the midst of probably incredible change, a mighty leader dead, future days uncertain, the Lord calls out Joshua, and the Lord leads Joshua to step out with these words of God: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you a little ways along the way, and then He's going to leave you on your own. No. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever He leads. And Joshua obeyed the Lord, and the Lord led him into the future. For us to get busy living into the future God has for us, it will take courage. But fear not, God will be with us wherever we go. Well, it takes courage, but it also takes patience. Patience. Now wake up and listen to this. It takes patience. Stepping out with the Lord into a new beginning takes patience. Not everything goes according to plan. Not everything goes according to schedule. Not everyone comes along for the ride or is able to join in like we think they might should. Not every detail is covered. And those realities call on us not to take our toys and go home. Not to say, oh, well, we shouldn't have done it anyway. Kind of like those spies that sat right there looking over into the promised land. They said, no, there's giants in there. We're not going in. There were two that said they would go. Who was it? Joshua and Caleb. And everybody else said, no, we can't go there. Giants in the land. And I guess that there was some patience that ended up needing to be lived out. Maybe 40 years of patience. Psalm 37:7 says this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for a person to come along? Some grand charismatic personality that's going to come in and save the day? Are we waiting for a person? Are we waiting for some grand plan that we can buy or purchase at a conference? Are we waiting for some grand plan? No. No. We're patiently waiting for the Lord. For the Lord. We're patiently waiting for His plan to come about. We're patiently waiting for Him to speak, for Him to work, for God to move. When there's a new beginning and challenges arise, church, let us be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Well, it takes courage, it takes patience, and thirdly, it takes joy. It takes joy. When the Lord is presenting before us a new beginning, that should bring about a great sense of joy. Why? How can we be joyful when there might be some change ahead? Because the Lord is calling us. The Lord is not through with us. The Lord has not moved on beyond us. But the Lord has seen fit to call us to get busy living and not dying. The Lord could leave us alone. He could let us dry up and shrivel on the vine. He could. But He's not. He's not. Actually, He's calling us. He's calling us, Robertsville. He's calling us forward. He's calling us to move out with Him. He's replanting us so that His glory, His grace, and His goodness can overflow out in the community around us. Church, God is not finished with this people yet. And there is great joy in believing that. Don't you believe that? We can get busy living into our future because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where does that verse come from? We say it all the time. But do you know the context of that verse? Is it in the Psalms or the Gospels or the epistles of Paul? It comes out of Nehemiah. It comes out of them finishing the work, and then they all gathered together to hear the Lord's word read. And the people began to hear the truth of God's word, and they were convicted, and they began to weep and wail, and they stood around and heard God's word read all day long. And they were broken. And they were They were humbled and they were contrite before the Lord. And Nehemiah stood up and spoke to all those people a word of God's grace. Yes, there's a reason to be broken when we realize that we've missed God's word. But Nehemiah stood up and said, listen, today is not a day of mourning. Today is a day of rejoicing. We finished the work. We've heard God's word proclaimed. Now, you go home and you take some time to be at home and to eat and to rest and to rejoice. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where that verse comes from. And when we think about God's work in the midst of a people, what we must know is it just doesn't call us to obedience. It doesn't just call us to commitment and faithfulness. It calls us to joy, knowing that God is not done with us yet, that God has a future ahead of us. Look at the words of blessing that we read at the end of this Psalm 80. Verse 18, revive us and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face to shine upon us and we will be saved. That we might be saved. That we might get busy living. That we might get busy living into the future, into our future, with courage, patience, and joy. Amen and amen. God, thank you for this time, for this day, for the fullness of it. From the beginning of this day, when we rose and breathed in your breath of life, all throughout this morning in preparation and in singing and harmonizing and making melodies before you, Lord, in teaching and listening and opening our lives to you, Lord, in praying and fellowshipping together as your people, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together with one another. Lord, thank you for the fullness of this day. And now take your word and cause it to be sealed in our hearts. Lord, cause it to change us, to mold us and shape us all for your glory, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of response today, and I'll be here at the front if you need to share anything or for prayer, however it is that you need to respond. God is a good, good Father, and this is the God that has called us to get busy living into this future that he has for us. Let's sing together. Let's respond together.